What kind of God would allow bad things to happen to good people? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you will hear from Julie Court, who was abused by her stepfather, and because of that, didn't believe in God.
There are so many people who don't believe in God to this day because of what has happened to them when they grew up, or even they saw things in the church and they said, what kind of God would allow that? And I think a lot of times we see things or things happen to us and we blame God for those things. Instead of turning to him, we turn away from him.
And that seems like a knee-jerk reaction, you know? Mm-hmm. But if we look deeper, it's much more complex than just blaming God.
Yeah.
Or saying, God, if you're real, how could you have allowed this to happen? Mm-hmm. It's much deeper. The Bible gives us insight in this. It says in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. There's someone with an agenda against you. And it says, I have come that they may have life, that's Jesus, and that they may have it more abundantly. That good things come from God, and there is an enemy out there who is trying to inflict evil on mankind.
The other thing is that we have a free will.
True.
You know, we have children and we cannot force them to love us or to do what we tell them to do. And we instruct them because we love them. And that's how God is. He instructs everyone because he cares for us. But people choose to do wrong. They choose to do bad and harm others. And otherwise, we would be robots, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes people's free will and the temptations from the devil's mixed go toward that person. And
so
it's not
complex.
Like God is like, haha, good, this is what's happening. No, God will come. He will be a comfort to those who are mourning. So if you're going through a hard time, call out to him. Don't turn from him. And he will help you in your hardest times. Let's listen to Julie Court right here after the break.
Colorado Christian University College of Adult and Graduate Studies presents Hope Fest 2017, Saturday, June 10th at Centennial Park Amphitheater. Tickets are just $39 and are on sale at www.thehopefest.com. Less than 5,000 tickets are available, so get them while you can. One day, one stage, 10 huge bands, and 5,000 of your closest friends. Hope Fest 2017.
Did you know that we have a way for you to win free tickets to Hope Fest? This week, we're giving away 2 free tickets to 1 lucky winner. Call us to enter to win the drawing. Our number is 877-480-4477. That's 877-480-4477. We'll be speaking at Hope Fest and would love to meet you at our Real Life radio show booth. Hope to see you there. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
We have with us Julie Court, who has learned how to overcome bitterness through forgiveness. And she was abused by her stepfather, and she's going to share the hurts, the pains, and how she overcame. So let's welcome to the show, Julie. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about your childhood. Your parents ended up getting a divorce, and as if that pain wasn't hard enough, your mom remarried and ended up in an abusive situation.
That's right, and he was a very violent man. He also had a perversion with pornography and things like that. And he controlled my mother to the point of one night he was threatening her, and I came out of my bedroom and out came the shotgun, and he ended up shooting the gun through the ceiling of the trailer.
Wow.
And my mom crumpled to the ground.
Mm. Wow. She must have been horrified and in fear. Thankfully, he didn't shoot anyone. But through this, I can imagine as a young girl how scary that would be. What were you feeling at that time?
Well, I had been crying out to God to get us away from this man.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I actually thought to myself, if God lets this happen over and over, what kind of God is he?
Mm-hmm.
The trauma went on even after that. And during a car ride, my stepfather ran his hand along the top of the car seat and then over on my shoulder, and my stomach continued to turn, and I just wanted to get as far away from him as I could, and I was in the car alone with him. And I turned to him, and I said right to his face, "If you ever touch me, I'll slit your throat."
Mm. Wow. So you actually defended yourself. How old were you?
I was about 11 at this point.
Mm. Wow.
You know, there are a lot of people who go through abuse and sexual abuse, and they're afraid to say anything to their perpetrator. What gave you that nerve or that strength at that moment to tell him to stop, and did he stop?
Well, the abuse continued to happen in the home and things, but in the end, I was able to get out because I ended up giving my mother what I thought was an ultimatum on my point that said that either let me go live with my grandma and grandpa or I'm going to become a prostitute because I won't spend one more day with him.
So tell me about how old you were at that time and what kind of emotions did you continue to deal with seeing this abuse? What kind of feelings that girls that age go through, and such as yourself, and how long did it go until you moved out?
Well, when I gave the ultimatum, my mom actually did let me move out and I made some arrangements, but I felt very rejected and insecure. I maneuvered my way through the school days with a protective cloak, petrified to let anyone in because people in authority couldn't be trusted. Mm-hmm. I didn't want anyone to know what I had lived through. I had a blanket of shame. I needed to hide myself, and I feared a loveless future.
Wow. Mm.
So where were you at when you finally found a way through this or started to get healing? At that point, were you rejecting God or did you turn toward God?
Actually, I was rejecting God, but he sent a girl named Miriam to me. She entered my life, and for 3 years, she began to show me what the love of God is really like, and I didn't believe her. Mm-hmm. Because of what I had experienced, I didn't even have a clue mm-hmm. of what love felt like anymore, even mm-hmm. though I had had some good times when I was with my parents. I mean, we did have some good times in the midst of the alcoholism and things that pervaded our home, but they were good people. But when I had gotten to the point after the abusive stepfather, I wouldn't listen, and I would just say, if God is so loving, why do babies die?
Yeah.
And so the bitterness and the resentment and the anger that I had no way to process it. I had no way to get it out until 3 years of someone loving me, 3 years of showing me what unconditional love looked like. And I began to feel what it was like when I was in her home, and they weren't perfect, but there was so much love there. I couldn't hardly resist being around it. It was like a moth to a flame. I was just like, wow, what is this? It felt so different. And eventually I gave my heart to Christ mm-hmm. and I experienced the love of God, and I felt like a weight lift off of me, but I still had unforgiveness that was blocking love being able to come in and fully restore me.
Wow. There are a lot of people listening who have received Jesus into their heart, and they're feeling right now that there's something blocking it, and it's right. probably unforgiveness. How did you recognize that it was unforgiveness, and how did you get that restoration of God's love and healing from that unforgiveness?
Right.
I was very fortunate because someone older took an interest in me and began to disciple me, and they began to tell me that I needed to forgive. And I was like, I can't. I'm not ready. And they began to teach me about how forgiveness is an act of obedience, and it's a choice you make with your will. You don't have to feel like forgiving. You choose to forgive as an act of your will in obedience to God. That's the first phase or the first step of forgiveness, but it's not the last step.
Mm. So as you started to forgive your stepdad, maybe your mom, maybe some other people, how are you feeling inside personally?
There was a huge wall in being able to feel like I forgave, but then I learned the second step of forgiveness. And that was the choice that I needed to cleanse my own heart. Mm. And I needed to let go of all bitterness, all resentment, the rage, the wanting to hurt them. I had to choose to let Christ come in. And by letting go of that bitterness and choosing to say, I feel you and I let you go and I refuse to cooperate with you any longer in Jesus' name.
Wow.
You know, there are people listening right now who have a strong sense of hurt and pain, and they're saying, you don't know what's happened to me. You don't know what I've been through. Right. And maybe they think it's even worse, or maybe it's not even as bad, but they just can't bring themselves to say, I could ever forgive this person. They've even made vows. What's something you can tell them right now that might change their mind?
Well, when we do not process the traumatic experiences correctly, we end up rationalizing. We end up justifying. And we accept wrong thinking and unhealthy behavior because that bitterness is holding you captive. It is not holding the other person captive.
Right.
You are the person that ends up being the victim to your choice not to let that bitterness go, not to let that feeling of they deserve to be punished, to let that go and put it into the hands of God, who is the perfect judge.
Mm. Right. That's wonderful. Well, you know, we're going to pray for people right now so that they have the opportunity to forgive and to receive healing in their own heart, because even the Bible says, forgive as I have forgiven you. And if we can't forgive others, how will He forgive us? So thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We appreciate you opening up and helping others at the same time. Thanks for being with us, Julie.
You are welcome. God bless.
God bless you.
I'm just sensing a word from the Lord. You know, it just really resonates with the part where she, as she was growing up, she said, you know, what kind of God is this that allows this to happen, that allows pain, that allows evil to happen, though we cry out for justice? And I sense that there's someone listening who really identified with that, who really connected with that and said, yes, I agree. I felt that same way too.
Yes.
But the Lord would say to you, yet trust me, my son, my daughter. The story is not yet finished. And forgiveness and learning to trust God, learning to understand that God is not the author of the evil, but He has a plan to defeat the evil in our lives. And so, Father, I'm praying right now for someone who said that in their heart and maybe has shut their hearts away from you, Lord God, and said, I don't even want to know you if you allow this kind of thing. But know this, that God is warring to win you back from the power of the enemy. Though the enemy is thrashing about trying to do all types of wicked, horrible things on this earth, his time is short. And so, Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you're coming back and that you are the judge of all things and that we can, as Julie said, we can trust you for what's going to happen. Trust judgment to you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that instead of taking justice into our own hands,
yes.
Jesus, we receive you. If there's someone who's saying, I don't know you, Jesus, we receive you. We believe in you and we trust in you mm-hmm. to give you a chance in Jesus' name.
Amen. God loves you so much. He wants you to be healed. Just forgive. You're listening to Real Life.